Thank you. Be thou my vision, my blessed Lord, almighty God and King of the seven heavens. Be thou my thinking from dawn to dusk, in the brightest of days, in the darkest of nights. Be thou my speaking in each word that I say, may it reflect the depths of your wisdom. Be thou my Father, may I be thy child. May we be together as one. Be thou my vision. Be thou my protector, be thou my shield, comfort me in my hour of need. Be thou my guardian, my guiding light, console me in my time of loss. Be thou my savior, my special angel, heal me when I am broken. Be thou the love of my heart, all that I am because of you. Be thou my vision.
Through faith in God, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed with inalienable rights of life and precious liberty, the pursuit of happiness. On these we now take aim and set our sights. Like sleeping watchmen on the wall, we have failed to heed the signs of usurping foreign powers within our land, letting fraud, deceit, and usury be the curse of these hard times. Now won't you heed this wake-up call and lend a hand and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution today. In the spirit of our ancestors who refused to live in chains, we now must cast our eyes on liberty's light. For the blood spilled by our forefathers still flows within our veins, and we shall not live as slaves without a fight. Like soldiers, we must stand and face this enemy within and do what we must do to seize the time. For in order to defend and exercise our liberties, we now must place our liberty on the line and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution today. Be a part of the solution and restore. System.
A Second American Revolution today.
Make a bandage, get the oil, pour some water, and bring a clean rag. But the brother is lying here with a broken back, and the bones are showing through. But all you know to do is dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious, as though it were not serious. You dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious, as though it were not serious. Reach the dial, tune it in, Christian radio plays your favorite songs again. With a family next door suffering from a lack of food, all you want to hear right now is a song to change your mood. And you dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious, as though it were not serious. Dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious, as though it were not serious.
plan. Where's my authority? My pastor go-between. I guess I'll have to quote him now, Jeremiah 6:14. Address the wound of my people as though it were not serious, as though address the wound of my people as though it were not serious, as though it were not serious. Oh, you dress the wound, you dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious, as though it were not serious, not serious. Get serious about my flock.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 18th day of May, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is Situation Update. And we dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumri Ambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces, and again, that is pastordan.net. We do draw your attention to the Daily Mail page there, where we keep information on current events and health information, etc. Thank you, Ella. And also the page, homepage, where we have instructions there for those folks that wish to help us out financially, and the Contact Us page for those folks who do not have my personal email, etc., or phone number. You can use that page to get me a message or a note. Micah 6, verse 8, He has shown you, O man, what is good. What does Yahweh require of you but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your Elohim God? Walk humbly. As I walk around the streets here of late, it sure doesn't look to me like very many people have any clue what that means. Especially when I watch a video of some female in, it looked like Congress, somebody testifying, and a congressman asked this, I guess it was a woman, it's a creature of some sort, whether she knew how to identify a woman. And the congressman said, do you believe that people can do that? She said, yeah. He goes, do you also believe that men can get pregnant and have babies, etc.? And she said, why, of course. This is the level of insanity that we find ourselves in today. And so that's why I've picked some verses to talk about not only what our Father expects of us, but where we are on this journey during the latter days. I'm pretty sure all of you can agree that we are in the latter days. If you just take a look at what's going on in this crazy, crazy world, I don't know how anybody could not know that. So I am in communication with people every day, and the level of frustration amongst our people is utterly amazing, actually. So that's why I picked some of the verses I did, because that will have to do with encouragement, but also edification and reinforce the commandments of our Father to us today, also to our ancestors, of course, but especially here at this time, because the stress level is unbelievable. Now, the interesting thing is that those of you that have been with this ministry by Yahweh's design from the beginning, you know we've talked at length about so many issues over the years, 22 and a half years now. And we predicted many of the crazy things. Now, we didn't have details, of course. We couldn't tell this fake pandemic would be the method that they try to bring in the New World Order. But we did say that they would pull out all the stops. We did remind you that the lies and deception would become greater and greater. The totalitarianism would become worse and worse. We did tell you that. We also talked endlessly about getting back to the basics and to prepare yourselves. We talked about a proverb that says that the wise man sees disaster coming and prepares for it. The wise or prudent man sees disaster coming and prepares for it. And for 22 and a half years, that has been the main gist of what we've been trying to do. Wake up the lions amongst our men. That was one of our primary things. Dedicated to truth, because there are so many liars out there. But also to inform you truthfully about health, about science, about medicine, about current events and politics, etc. And how the mainstream church world has completely let us down. Completely. We've also said how centralization, whether you want to talk about centralization in business, which is where the corporate world comes in, centralization of government, centralization of banking, which is where the Federal Reserve takes us, centralization of religion, mainstream religions, of course, the Catholic Church being the worst, but the Protestant churches are not any better today. They're just miniatures, replicas of the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic children of the devil. Okay, the Pope, the bishops, the priests, the whole organization of the Catholic Church is straight out of the pits of hell. How can people not see this? Just like these cretins and miscreants that they are posing as our leaders in government. You walk away from it, folks. It's Babylonian. This is Mystery Babylon all around us. Whether you want to talk about the United States government, the Canadian government, the European governments, all of them, they're in bed with these international bankers who are all communists and, yes, Jews. Okay? They're in bed with all of them. And our people, for the most part, have sold themselves out for money. They've become whores, prostitutes. That goes for leaders of industry, leaders in government, leaders in science, leaders in medicine, leaders in entertainment, you name it. They've all sold themselves out. They are either directly children of Lucifer or the devil, whatever term you want to use for the Antichrist or for the devil spirit. Ha diablos in the Greek. Ha diablos. Ha meaning the. Okay, there are thousands of antichristos. John the Apostle said that. There are many here already. So there are plenty of examples of antichristos, antichrists walking amongst us. But when it refers to ha antichristos, the antichrist, meaning the leader, which is what Yeshua referred to when he said that you are vipers in doing the work of your father. So he inferred the same thing when he said that. And so we have this all around us today. It's just almost mind-numbing the level of insanity and debauchery that is allowed to pass for, quote, normal amongst these retards, these reprobates that walk amongst us. It's amazing to me. Yahweh said, I'm going to separate the wheat from the chaff. or the wheat from the tares, either one, whichever way you want to say it. He said, I'm going to separate them. Well, you can see that happening. Ever since this whole fake, phony pandemic thing that Fauci has pushed and all the rest of the sons of Satan like him, and that Deborah Birx and all the rest of them, they're all whores. They're all antichrists. They're liars and deceivers. Unbelievable, the things that they say. And yet people still give some credibility to these monsters. I just shake my head at times. It's like, are you like drinking some sort of poison or mind-numbing herb or tincture or something that takes away all common sense? I mean, really. It's unbelievable. But anyway, I wanted to get into the scriptures here a little bit. We'll start here in Daniel 12, verse 1. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. So again, you know, I have this difficulty getting people to understand, you can't save everyone. I can't tell you how many Zio Christians there are, even in my own family and friends, that think it's our job to, quote, save souls. Really? Save souls? What? Save souls? What do you mean, save souls? The salvation spoken of in the scriptures is talking about salvation here on earth from physical harm. It wasn't what the mainstream devil church is telling you, that your job is to go out there and get them to pray the sinner's prayer, and from that point on, hallelujah, they're saved. They can go out and perform all kinds of debauchery. They're good to go. They got their ticket on the rapture train. Nothing could be further from the truth. No, that's why Yeshua said, when he spoke in parables and his disciples questioned him about it, he said, because there are those here who are condemned already. So right there, Yeshua said, there are those who are condemned already. There are those that if they heard the truth might repent, but they were meant to not survive. Just like the woman in Matthew, at first he did not even speak to her. So obviously he didn't buy into this, you gotta save everyone, everybody's the same stuff, did he? No. By his actions, he didn't. By his words, he didn't. And yet, the Zio Christians today believe that's what we're supposed to do. And these prostitutes called preachers, they're telling their people that, yeah, go out there and save souls and drag them into church. Of course, that equates to money in their pocket. That's why they really want you to do it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. But understand this. That in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, or selfish, we could say. And that is certainly true. Narcissism, I've never seen a higher rate of narcissistic behavior in my time on this earth. Lovers of money, oh my God, does that nail our people or what? How do you get people to go along with insanity and criminality and totalitarianism? Just offer money. They're basically all whores. They're all prostitutes. Sell their souls out for a bag of silver. And it's not even real silver anymore. It's not even real money. It's digital money. They're selling out their country, their souls, and everything else for digital money. Okay? It's not even real. At least Judas, when he betrayed Christ, he got a bag of actual silver. It didn't do him any good, of course. He ended up dead. But at least he wanted real money, real something of intrinsic value, whereas people are selling everything out today, including their own integrity, their own families, their own country, their own neighbors, for electronic digits in a computer. Lovers of money, proud, arrogant, boy, do I see a lot of that today, abusive. How many domestic violence cases have we heard about? Disobedient to their parents. This verse here could also be translated as disobedient to their ancestors, not just your direct earthly parents, but disobedient to the teachings of our ancestors. Ungrateful. Boy, I've got members of my own family that adjective fits perfectly. Unholy, heartless, unappeasable. Boy, I don't know about you guys, but in my relationships, that sounds like pretty much everybody I've been involved with for a long time. Unappeasable, could never make them happy. And I'm talking about my exes, yes. It didn't matter what I did, no matter how many hours I worked, no matter how much money I made, no matter what I did to try to please them, just unappeasable. Nothing was ever good enough. I used to have the theory that, at least in my case, the wives figured out a long time ago, if they're always unhappy and bitching, then that'll put the man on the defensive and he will give them more things to try to make them happy and quiet them down. So it was almost like their bitchiness was intentional. But for whatever purpose, it says here in 2 Timothy that they were unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good. Is that our people today? I would say absolutely. Ella says here, the definition of soul is life of the body. When the body dies, the soul ceases to exist. The body goes to the earth and the spirit returns to Yahweh. And references Ecclesiastes. Brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless. Just look at the way people ride around on in their cars today. Swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Elohim God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. So the church was telling us it's our job to save everybody. And I'm here to tell you some people aren't worth saving. Some people aren't meant to be saved. And this right here, Ella says, Ecclesiastes 12:7. So right here, it's telling us this whole list of people with these attributes to avoid them. It doesn't say go grab them by the shoulder, shake them, and try to, quote, save their soul. Try to save them from what's coming. Because this group of people are condemned already. Does that make sense? Does to me. These people are condemned already. Avoid such people. Ever since I've come to know the identity message, I no longer feel this need to try to, quote, save everybody. Do I believe that we should try to help brothers and sisters who have repented and come back to the flock and come back to our Heavenly Father? Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we should do everything we can to aid them and to edify them and assist them. But these people that meet the description that I just read, why would... No. I don't pray for them. I don't associate with them. I want no part with them. I believe what it says, and I do exactly what it says. I avoid such people. Revelation 3:10-11. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole earth, to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have, so that no one may seize your crown. You see, we're at that point in this timeline where the anxiety level is monstrous for most of our people. Monstrous. Between the idiocy we see going on, the evil that is like a dark cloud over this world, and nobody seems to care. Nobody, especially in a position of, quote, power. They have all sold their souls. They are anti-Christ. They are anti-Yahweh God. They are anti-white, and they are anti-male. You see, the white man, the Adamic man, is the instrument Yahweh will use to bring about his kingdom. And the prophets told us the kingdom will come in with violence. They know that. That's why the white man, and I'm talking about real men now, not just males, guys that have the equipment, but they sure don't have the internal wiring to be a man. The white man who is a lion, that is what they fear the most, because it is that group of men that Yahweh will raise up, as it says in Ezekiel, to become a vast and mighty army. And then per the prophet Obadiah, that vast and mighty army will go forth and they will annihilate these demonic forces. You can feel that building up right now. Every righteous man I know, is his hand is gripped around his sword. And of course I'm speaking of a sword figuratively. But there are some guys I know that do have a traditional double-edged sword. So whatever kind of weapon it is, their hands are on them and they're itching for battle. They're itching to be let loose on this world to cleanse it. Our people are sick. And it's not just our people. The righteous amongst the non-Israelites are also sick of what we see going on, because this affects their lives and their families as well. These are the people that Yahweh told us that if they bless Abraham, they shall in turn be blessed. We are the Abrahamic people, not the Jews. The Jews are the imposter people. So now you know why the Antichrist hates the white man. Isaiah 41, verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your Elohim God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Hallelujah. What sets us apart from the rest of the rabble out here? Our Father in heaven. You and I don't deserve any credit. You know that, right, folks? I hope you do. You and I, our works are as filthy rags. We don't deserve any credit whatsoever. We are where we are simply because of our righteous faith in our Father and our human attempt to be as righteous as we can be and obey his laws to the best of our ability. That is what he honors. And to walk with him, as the scripture I just read said, humbly. Humble yourself and don't be full of yourself like these reprobates that I see every day on the streets around here. Revelation 19, verses 1, starting at verse 1. After this I heard what seemed to be a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, crying out, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our Elohim God, for his judgments are true and just. For he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality, and has avenged on her the blood of his servants. the day of judgment is coming. And it will be by the hand of his people, and that is what they fear. That is why you see all these things that are going on to take down the white man, get him injected with the vaccine, get him turned into transhumanism so that he's no longer, quote, of Yahweh. They're desperate to try this. This attempt by people like Fauci and the rest of the cabal is no different than the Jews murdering the boys in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Okay? When they heard Messiah coming the first time, they ran out and they murdered all the boys in Bethlehem from 0 to 3 years old. They wanted to make sure they covered it. You got to remember, news didn't travel very fast back then. So they weren't quite sure when he may have, quote, come to Bethlehem. And so they murdered the boys. Some people figure it to be somewhere between 300 and 500 children were murdered in Bethlehem at that time. Why? Because of their insane thinking that they could stop Messiah from coming. And, of course, they couldn't because, first of all, he wasn't in Jerusalem at that time or Bethlehem at that time. Okay? So, but they still, there were hundreds of babies murdered because of their insanity. Well, the same thing's going on today. Only, of course, it's on a much larger scale. They're willing to murder all kinds of millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions, maybe, of innocent souls to try to stop Yahweh's plan for the latter days. So people can say, well, Dan, that sounds incredible. No, it's already happened once. Go read your book. Go read the accounts of what happened in Bethlehem. Once more they cried out, hallelujah. The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. This is like the stench of the sins of the people of this world, the stench in the nostrils of our Father. And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshipped Elohim God, who was seated on the throne, saying, Amen and Hallelujah. And from the throne came a voice saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, great and small. Again, who are his servants? Those who fear or reverence. You can substitute those two words in most scripture. Fear and reverence when it comes to our Heavenly Father. Jeremiah 30 verse 7, Alas, that day is so great that there is none like it. It is a time of distress for Jacob Israel. Yet he shall be saved out of it. So no matter how bad everything looks, we are to remain faithful and we are to no longer have fear because we serve the living God. Now, if you don't believe that there is a living God, you're in trouble. You really are in pretty big trouble if you don't believe that. Now, if you know that the Father's there, and you walk with the Father, and the Holy Spirit ministers unto you, then you should know that all this is true. And as the French General Napoleon and others in history have said, the evidence of the living God is all around us. Just take a look around you. Do you really, truly believe that all this is by accident? Please. No way. And then Isaiah at 33 verse 22 further tells us the same thing in different language, of course. For Yahweh is our judge. Of course he is. Yahweh is our lawgiver. And Yahweh is our king. Do you notice that all three branches of government are covered in this one verse? The judicial, the legislative, and the executive, all covered. And all of them are Yahweh God himself. So Yahweh is our judge, lawgiver, and our king. He will save us. Doesn't say a legislature will. Doesn't say a man-made institution will. Doesn't say your wealth will. Doesn't say all your weapons and ammunition will, though you should have them, of course. It says that he will save us. Now, sometimes you wonder, is this a formula in Isaiah 33:22? In other words, when you make Yahweh your judge, lawgiver, and king, then is when he saves you. As you make him these three branches of government over you and your actions, now he can save you. And I always talk about the world of natural health because it's so apropos to what's going on. When you read the scripture about the food laws, which, by the way, in all of the natural classes that I took, they pretty much told us that the clean foods and foods that we should be eating matched exactly with scripture, pretty much right down the line. The foods that they always told us, well, you should really avoid them because they're not good for you, hard to digest, they're full of parasites, whatever. Especially the pig, one of the worst things you can eat. And that came from a natural health class. It had nothing to do with the Bible or the identity message. And yet it fits like a glove. So again, if you read it and believed it and put it into practice, is there a blessing? Yes, there is. Is that blessing better health? Yes, there is. If you have better health, do you have length of life and a better quality of life? Yes, you do. Do you see what I'm saying? It fits. It doesn't always have to be a lightning bolt from heaven and some miraculous person, say, in their 60s or 80s or whatever, and they've ruined their bodies and they're about ready to get into the grave and all of a sudden zap and now they're a brand new person. That's what everybody thinks is a miracle. To me, what the miracle is you pick up the book, you read it, you go, wow, I'm not supposed to eat these things. So you make a change in your diet and the next thing you know, you're healthier than you've ever been. Which for me anyway, now, even though I'm getting to the age where some people think you're about ready to fall over, I feel better today than I did 20 years ago. I told family members today in a conversation I was having, I plan on being here for quite some time yet. I'm not getting ready to go into the grave. I'm just getting started. I'm learning to put into practice all the things that he taught us and the Holy Spirit testifies to so that I'm going to continue to feel better and better and better. Because when you take care of your temple will take care of you. Now, the main stream out here, the mainstream medical mafia, etc., of course, they're not going to tell you that because, again, there's no profit in it. And after all, the medical mafia, as all these major centralized institutions, are driven by profit, the making of money. That's all they care about. For the most part, like 96%. There may be a few out of 100 that actually truly want to help people. But even they, because my daughter and some other family members are part of that group, they really want to help people, but they're hamstrung. They can't hardly do it because the system is set up to make money. And they are actually told, don't do what you're doing. You're taking too much time with the patients, etc., etc. We're here to make money. They've actually told my daughter that when she worked at a major research hospital in Philadelphia. You're taking too much time. We need to get these people through like a herd of cattle, through a cattle chute. It's disgusting. Disgusting, disgusting. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is Yahweh your Elohim God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. I've been down a lot of dark roads in my day. Trials and coming up against the beast system. And looking back over those years, and they were scary times. I will admit, there were some really scary times. But looking back over it, he never left me, not 1 minute. And did he help? Yeah, he did. Now, did he come down and go, Dan, I'm going to whisper in your ear, you can go out and be as bold as you want and all this because, you know, I'm going to make sure no arrow hurts you and no. No, that didn't happen. But I did have a peace about me knowing that I was doing right, as Scripture tells us we should do, and that my cause was just, and I was trying to prevent a travesty of justice. So I knew I was on the moral ground, but I was deep in enemy territory. And yet the strangest thing was that the enemy and his minions in the system were the ones who looked the most afraid. That astonished me because I have to admit, I was pretty shaken. And yet it helped make it me emboldened because I could see their fear. They were that afraid of a singular, and sometimes there were a couple of us, but a lot of times it was just a singular righteous man who would not back down, frightened them incredibly because they're not used to it. Now that I see these people and how they behave today, and how easy it is to manipulate them and prod them into doing the wicked things they do, I can see why they were so intimidated. Because they are used to dealing with weak-willed cucks and soy boys and soy girls amongst our people. And so when they run into a man or woman of Yahweh who takes a stand and will not back down, they're not sure how to handle it. They're not sure how to handle it. And it shows in their countenance. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For Yahweh God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Hallelujah. 1 John 4, 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. If you're afraid, that means that you are either afraid of death or, as this verse says, some sort of punishment, which you could look at death as a form of punishment, I guess. But that's where fear comes from, because you don't know who you are. You don't know that this world that we're in right now is not the end of things. You haven't come to that realization. We're travelers. We're passing through. That's why for many years people didn't say somebody died. Even when I was a boy, it was rare. Nobody said your Aunt May or Grandma John's or whatever has died. They said they have passed over. Or passed on. But typically it was passed over. They have passed over. Sometimes they would add passed over River Jordan. But the idea is our ancestors knew this is just a staging area. This is a testing area. And when you leave here, you pass over across that barrier. But today, because we've been indoctrinated by the school systems and we've been lulled into a sense of lies and deception by the fake and phony pastors in this mainstream churchianity system, they no longer teach these things. They teach what the beast wants them to teach, which is to keep you afraid and not knowing the truth. Psalm 34, verse 4, I sought Yahweh, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. And again, if you are paralyzed with fear, you obviously don't have a relationship with the Father. Okay? You can't have a relationship with him and still be afraid. I don't believe that's possible. Because there is a strength that comes from that relationship. There is a strength that comes from being ministered to by the Holy Spirit, His Spirit, which testifies to the truth versus these lies and deceptions. An example, 2 years ago when I was visiting and helping my brother in Virginia, when this whole fake and phony pandemic was sprung on us, I remember in his living room seeing Fauci for the first time on his television screen. And I remember looking at him and telling my brother, he is no good. I didn't know anything about him. I just could take a look at him, and I could see by his body language, his facial expressions, and that Jewish, narrow-eyed, pug face of his, that individual is no good, and he is a liar. I have yet to be proven wrong by that assessment. Same thing when Deborah Birx got up to speak, another monster amongst us that has no truth in her. And there are many, many others, of course. Almost everybody in the government today is part of that crowd. Deceivers, liars, thieves, murderers. They're all scum. If you think there's a political solution for the situation right now, you're crazy. Sorry, but you are. It's not going to be a political solution, folks. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For Yahweh, your Elohim God, is with you wherever you go. Now, to reinforce some of the things that these verses were just telling us, I put together some quotes. I sent these out earlier today in an email because I thought they all pretty much had something to say about our current situation and offer some suggestions as to what we might do about that. And again, these are all quotes. You probably won't recognize every name, but there's a lot of them you might. This is a individual named Anthony Hilder. Communism is not and never was a creation of the masses to overthrow the banking establishment, but rather a creation of the banking establishment to overthrow and enslave the people. Amen and hallelujah. Right there sums it up exactly what's going on. This is a banker, Jewish banker, international banker scheme to overthrow mankind. This is a quote of Plato, and I sure hope everybody knows who Plato was. The true seeker of knowledge naturally strives for truth and is not content with common opinion, but soars with undimmed and unwearied passion until one grasps the essential nature of things. In other words, if you're a real truth seeker, you're going to seek it with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. And you're willing to hear the truth, even if it's a painful truth. We've talked about this quote many times, and it is so, so true. The Japanese samurai code called Bushido, the way of the warrior. The only solution for bad and violent people is good people that are more skilled in violence. Hallelujah. See, the church world wants everybody to be pansies and pushovers. And I mean, I've even had a Baptist preacher one time saying, well, no good Christian should have a weapon. And really, I can't believe that you believe you should have a weapon or even think about violence. I said, you are an apostate. You are a deceiver. Believe it or not, this is a quote from George Carlin, the comedian. But George Carlin put a lot of truths in his routines. Governments do not want a population capable of critical thinking. They want obedient workers, people just smart enough to run the machines and just dumb enough to passively accept their situation. Does that sound familiar? You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets, and they own all the big media companies. So they control just about all the news and information you get to hear. Amen, George. This is a quote of Stefan Zarlenga. Over time, whoever controls the money system controls the nation. And in this day and age, you could say that whoever controls the money system controls the world, because they're trying to make everything worldwide. This quote here is Sir Josiah Stamp, who was the president of the Bank of England back in the 1920s. Now listen to what he says now. Sir Josiah Stamp. Banking was conceived in iniquity and was born in sin. The bankers own the earth. Take it away from them, but leave them the power to create deposits, and with the flick of the pen, they will create enough deposits to buy it back again. However, take it away from them, and all the great fortunes like mine will disappear, and they ought to disappear. For this world would be a happier and better world to live in. But if you wish to remain the slaves of the bankers and pay the cost of your own slavery, let them continue to create deposits. Rothschild said it himself, I care not who makes the laws of a land as long as I control the issuance of currency and credit. Exactly right. Sun Tzu from The Art of War. If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. Now let that sink in. If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. In other words, 50-50. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle. Hallelujah. These two quotes are by somebody that just goes by the initials J.I. Wishing no harm to enemies is wishing harm to ourselves and our children. Again, that was the whole purpose of the modern day church world movement. The centralization of Christian churches was to teach us to become slaves, to roll over and allow them to subjugate us and take total control. Yeshua would never have condoned the way we behave today. No way, no way. Another quote of J.I., a people cannot know love unless they are willing to kill those who destroy it. Again, not because we're violent people, but because there are people who don't deserve to be walking this earth. They not only will kill love, they will kill you and do harm to you, your family, to your neighbors, whatever. Again, the Japanese samurai code Bushido. The only thing that you can stop these kind of people with is moral, righteous men better trained at violence and willing to use it. Give me a second. This is a quote by Frederick Bastiat, who lived in the early 1800s in France, in his book called Economic Sophisms. When plunder becomes a way of life for a group of men living together in society, they create for themselves, in the course of time, a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it. That's America today. That's the world we live in. The London Jewish World of March 15, 1923 declared, quote, "Fundamentally, Judaism is anti-Christian." And yet, how many Zio-Christians today know this? This is a quote of Ezra Pound. "Get the Jews out of government, and they cannot betray the nation." Why is that one important? Who do you think's betraying our white nations today? All of them. The European nations. Canada, the United States, New Zealand, Australia. Yeah, Ezra Pound nailed it. Get the Jews out of there and they cannot betray the nation. Who's betraying our countries today? Look at the names and faces of the people often put on all these posts as betraying this world, and they're almost every single one of them is Jewish. Thomas Paine, "It is the duty of the patriot to protect his country from its government." Hallelujah. He also said, "We fight not to enslave, but to set a country free and to make room upon the earth for honest men to live in." Very good, Thomas. Honest men. We don't have too many honest people walking around these days. He also said, "There are persons also who see not the full extent of the evil which threatens them. They solace themselves with hopes that the enemy, if he succeed, will be merciful. It is the madness of folly to expect mercy from those who have refused to do justice, and even mercy where conquest is the object, is only a trick of war. The cunning of the fox is as murderous as the violence of the wolf, and we ought to guard equally against both." Expecting your enemy to be merciful to you is foolishness, absolute foolishness. Thomas Paine also said, "To argue with a person who has renounced the use of reason is like administering medicine to the dead." That's kind of humorous. He said also, "The strength and power of despotism consists wholly in the fear of resistance." That is a very descriptive single sentence about the state of the white race today. "The strength and power of despotism consists wholly in the fear of resistance." Where is the resistance to evil today? Sure not coming from your mainstream churches. John Stuart Mill said, "The person who has nothing for which he is willing to fight, nothing which is more important than his own personal safety, is a miserable creature and has no chance of being free unless made and kept so by the exertions of better men than himself." Basically, you're a cuck, a little soy boy that has to be taken care of because you don't have enough kahunis to stand like a lion and like a man. John Adams, "Without the pen of the author of Common Sense, the sword of Washington would have been raised in vain." In other words, before the heat of battle, it is the job of the watchman to sound the alarm, whether in by voice, by phone, by text, by email, or by radio station. It is the job of the watchman to sound the alarm through the voice and the written word before the call to arms. The warnings have been going out for quite some time. It is my humble opinion that the day of the sword is not very far away. Richard Buckminster Fuller said, "You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete." This is where the scriptures talk about coming out of Babylon. That is effectively saying the exact same thing. Don't believe that it's our job to, quote, take Babylon head on. He said, "Come out of her, my children. Come out of her, my people. Be ye separate and do not partake of her plagues." Her plagues are going to be coming shortly. Those plagues are going to wipe this system out. You can see the cracks forming in their walls already. Their system is going to disintegrate under the weight of its own corruption and evil. What we, the righteous, need to be doing is building a new model. A new model based on the things that we know to be true. Okay? We build a better model and just separate ourselves from them while they sink and drown like the people in the days of Noah. And last but not least, Ralph Waldo Emerson, in his writing The Value of Good Work: "If a man can write a better book, preach a better sermon, or make a better mousetrap than his neighbor, though he builds his house far away in the woods, the world will beat a beaten path to his door." In other words, if you and I can come together and put together a better world, build, as Mr. Fuller said here, a better model. If we can provide an ark, an escape, a sanctuary, the righteous will flee to it. The righteous will beat a beaten path to your door, to our door, to be out of this sick, demented system and let them drown in their own swill. Hallelujah. Absolutely. That's all the quotes I've got, and let's see where we're at here. Okay. And let's see, the recorder's still working. All right. Hallelujah. It looks like everything's, knock on wood, still working. So that's all I wanted to bring to you tonight. And again, we do have the ability to take a guest or a caller if they can use Skype. I have not yet found a way to make the two Skype systems talk to each other, the phone number that I have and regular Skype. I'm still working on it. I have lots of projects, and I have not got to that particular one yet. So I do ask for your indulgence in that area, and I will work on it diligently. But in the meantime, if you have any feedback from any of the messages, please feel free to send me an email, which is Bravo Yankee Delta, BYD, Bravo Yankee Delta, Pastor Dan, and that's all together, no spaces, BYD Pastor Dan at yahoo.com. If you go on Skype, it's BYD space Pastor Dan all together, and that's where you will find me. Heavenly Father, these are perilous times. It is getting worse by the day, but your children rise above this situation. Every person I know who has you in their hearts and does their best to obey you and to love you and to love each other the way you commanded us to do it, I don't know any of those who suffer under the things that are happening to the rest of the world. I really don't. There may be some persecution to some degree. There may be some inconveniences. But I don't personally know of anybody who has been overcome by this system. And I say hallelujah. Thank you, Father. As we prepare to go through the worst of this storm, I do ask that you would guide us and Give us strength. Give us good discernment. Pick out your leaders, Father Yahweh. Make them strong. Give them a stiff backbone. And let them be the banner, the ensign to be held up in front of our people. A shining example, especially for our men. They need to see real leaders amongst our people. We have so few. Raise up your lions, Father Yahweh, and let the men see them. Let them be a standard that we can become that vast and mighty army to protect the widows and the orphans and the weakest amongst us, but also to take your vengeance upon the wicked. We pray that that will happen very soon, but we will wait for your timing, Father Yahweh. But we do plead that it would be soon, that we believe enough innocent blood has already been shed. It is your plan, Father Yahweh, and we will follow your plan to the letter. And we will glorify your name this day and forevermore. And we are your servants, your children. And we thank you for all of our blessings. We pray for all of our people, especially those that may be suffering from some physical problems or illness. Watch over us and guide us, forgive us our sins, and protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we pray. Hallelujah.
Somewhere there's a stolen halo. I used to watch you wear it well. Everything would shine wherever she would go. But looking at her now, you'd never tell. Someone ran away with her innocence. A memory she can't get out of her head. I can only imagine what she's feeling when she's praying, kneeling at the edge of her bed. She said, take me away, take me farther. Someone to call her angel, someone to put the light back in her eyes. Looking through the faces in unfamiliar places, she needs someone to hear her when she cries. She said, take me away, take me farther. Like holy water.
Afraid and worn. I was brought up to respect them since the day that I was born. One came here from England, it's been handed down for years. The other one was ordered from a catalog at Sears. One my mama read to me till I was well into my teens. I thought all the other one was for was to hold up daddy's jeans. Till I told a lie and learned it had another purpose too. Out behind the shed my daddy said, this hurt me more than you. 'Cause one had my daddy's name on it, the other said King James. With love they taught us lessons, but we feared them both the same. One led us to heaven, and the other left a well. Those were the days when kids were raised with a Bible and a bell. I remember when I was 12, I stole a dime store comic book. How mama read where the scripture said to take back what I took. When I refused, my daddy grabbed my arm and said, come on, needed more, he knew, than just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, sometimes they made me cry, sometimes they made me fightin' mad. And I'd wish I'd been raised without them, like some other children had. But now I'm grown with kids of my own, and I know just how they felt. You know, it seems to me what the world still needs is a Bible and a bell. 'Cause one had my daddy's name on it, the other said King James. With love it taught us lessons, we feared them both the same. One led us to heaven, and the other hurt like hell. Those were the days when kids were raised with a Bible and a bell. A Bible and a bell.
Blood's atoning, that I repented of my My Savior forever, He's of me.